Welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your weekly prescription for happier, healthier homeschool living. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mother of six. Hey, homeschoolers. Last week, my husband and I shared about how to keep a homeschooling marriage strong. I think that's such an important topic. But a few months ago, a listener pointed out that it's hard for her to hear homeschooling advice designed for moms whose husbands are supportive of homeschooling when hers isn't. That got me interested in talking to single homeschooling moms and married homeschooling moms whose husbands aren't supportive. I want those of you who are homeschooling without help to have sanity too. That's what this episode is all about. Before I tell you more, I want to thank the show's sponsor, Apologia. Apologia isn't just a Christian homeschool publisher. They are our friends. I have been blessed to meet a number of people from Apologia, and their faith is authentic. They want to help homeschoolers equip their kids academically and spiritually. I'm so blessed to be working with them, and I am thankful for their support of this podcast. Be sure to visit them at apologia.com. The teaching tip of the week is to begin teaching your child study and test-taking skills no later than middle school. Unless your state requires regular testing, I don't believe our kids have to learn how to take tests at an early age. I didn't focus on this until my kids were in sixth grade. Testing is optional in my state, so I chose to have them test at this age to give them test-taking experience and to see what areas we needed to focus on in junior high. I think what I'm about to say may encourage those of you whose kids haven't done well on achievement testing. All five of my kids who have been tested so far have scored poorly in at least one major area. However, they have improved significantly in the years that followed that testing. One big reason for that, in my opinion, is because they learned how to study and take tests in middle school using Apologia's general and physical science curricula. My friend, whose boys have been doing the tests and labs with my kids for many years, agrees. Our older kids have been getting A's in college, science, and other courses because of the preparation they've gotten from this excellent curriculum. I will be giving you an inside look at these science courses and how to make them work for your family on Tuesday, June 13th at 4 Eastern, 3 Central, 2 Mountain, 1 Pacific at facebook.com/psychowith6. You'll have the opportunity to win the curriculum and you'll get an exclusive discount code for big savings. If you can't join me live, check the show notes at homeschoolsanity.com/nohelp for the replay. Now for this week's topic, homeschooling without help. I interviewed Jessica Binkley, a newly single homeschooling mom. She opened my eyes not only to the experience of homeschooling as a single, but to how those of us who are married can and should support our single friends.
Jessica, thank you so much for joining me on the Homeschool Sanity Show. I am excited to talk with you about being a single homeschooling mom. I learned recently that some of my podcast listeners are single, and they are really looking for help and encouragement on their family situation. And I knew I couldn't offer that help because of my own experience, so I was so excited that you were willing to talk with my listeners about what your experience has been and what kinds of tips that you can offer them to help them in their homeschooling journey. So welcome. I hope that you will just take a minute or two to introduce yourself to us.
Yeah, definitely. I really appreciate you having me on. So I am a single parent. Wasn't by choice. It's been this way for about 18 months now. And I was homeschooling, you know, prior to being divorced, and it was really something that I felt like I needed to do. And when my divorce did happen, I was kind of brokenhearted because I thought it meant, you know, everybody around me said, oh, well, now you've got to put your kids back in school and go back to your old job and, you know, things have to change. And I think that outside of just the marriage breaking up, that was really tough for me to swallow. And so I said, well, I'm going to finish this school year out, and we'll just kind of see how things go over the summer. And I even enrolled my kids in school, and I thought, okay, you know, this is my only option. I've got to do this. And one night I was sitting there thinking, and I was like, I don't want to quit. I cannot give up on this. So I have managed to make it work. And so now I work from home. Which I kind of created a job for myself. I looked everywhere to try and find a job where I could work from home, and I didn't have any luck. But I took a bookkeeping course, and then that turned into I found my love of design, and so now I'm staying at home. I design websites and logos for businesses and bloggers and stuff. So that keeps me here, and it gives me time to be with the kids. Because my kids are 9 and 11 now, so they still need me around, you know, most of the time, but they are getting a little more independent, so that's been helpful with the schoolwork. I don't have to hover and, you know, help them as much as I did in the past, but it's definitely been a crazy journey, but I'm so glad I stuck with it, and then it's led to cool things like this, so... yeah, if I can help anybody or be an inspiration or... you know, give somebody that little extra, you know, shove, like, you've got this, you can do this, even though you're on your own. I hope that, you know, they can get that from me.
That is wonderful. You know, I hear your dog. That's okay. That's life, right?
Oh, it is. And that's part of working from home. And sometimes I'm like, I get so embarrassed. I'm like, I'm so sorry the dog's going off for no apparent reason. But yeah, that's definitely part of being a homeschooler, and everything's kind of in your home environment. So it's all happening at once. Mm-hmm.
What kind of dog do you have?
We have a couple. I have the one that's Sparky is, she's a Chihuahua. And I swore I'd never have a Chihuahua, which is hilarious because I groomed dogs in the past years and years ago before I had children, and I've never been bitten as many times as I have by a Chihuahua. And oh. I wound up with a Chihuahua, so that's the funniest thing.
Well, Jessica, you know, as you were talking, I was realizing that I really have had the same viewpoint as people in your life did, that once you're divorced, of course, you're going to have to put your kids in school. But the psychologist in me was recognizing that would have been a lot more traumatic for you and for your kids, not only having to adjust to the divorce, but then also to a completely different educational style and environment.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And that's something that was hitting me really hard. I was married for 11 years, and I was really close to my husband, and I felt like I kind of went through a weird separation anxiety stage after he left, and the thought of the kids being gone all day, and my children, to go back a little bit, they had been in public school through kindergarten and first grade, or at least my oldest son had, and we had a lot of issues that were quickly resolved when I took him out of school, and we developed this really close relationship. And the thought of being away from them, if I went back to work, it was going to be, you know, about 10 hours a day that I was going to be gone by the time I had to drop them off at school, and then I had to get aftercare, you know, and then pick them up at aftercare after school. And I grew up that way, and I just, I could not commit to doing it. Like, everything in my body was like, no, this is wrong.
Wow. Well, it's really, it's been, I'm sure, a sacrifice for you too, though, to continue to make it work. Can you talk about what some of the challenges of single homeschooling have been for you, since you are newer to it? So they should be kind of fresh in your mind. What is different about being single versus married when you're homeschooling?
Yeah, well, one of the first things, and I didn't think about this at the time because I've always been one of those people who's like, oh, I love being around my kids all day long, you know, it's not a big deal. There is never a break. in my circumstance, at least.
Right.
So I don't have family that lives close by, and I don't, I'm, a lot of my friends I lost through the divorce process. So, and then a lot of, this is another thing, if you go from being married, doing this into a divorce situation, you do lose other people in your life, you know, like his whole side of the family. A lot of the support kind of falls away, and when I was wanting to do homeschool, I mean, in my mind, I was like, oh, it's no big deal, I'll just work from home, and that's the biggest problem I'm going to have. But it kind of turned into a, okay, well, it's, you know, 2 weeks in a row, and I can't leave to go to the store, I can't, you know, I can't run an errand, I can't have 20 minutes without having to worry about what's going on at home, and that kind of thing. So that became super stressful, and I've kind of worked on ways to deal with that, you know, taking more downtime and trying not to overschedule myself. It really forces you to look at your priorities and, you know, kind of reorganize a little bit. A lot of things I did as a stay-at-home mom, like I was really big into gardening, you know, and I sewed a lot. I did a lot of knitting. I did all these things that kind of, I had to condense that, you know, into a much smaller window. So I think giving up some of those hobbies, well, not necessarily giving them up, but reprioritizing that time, you know, with some of those hobbies, and then the realization that, okay, it's 10 o'clock at night and I'm out of milk and there's nobody else to run to the store for tomorrow's breakfast, and, you know, if I do make the decision to go, I have to put both kids in the car, we have to drive up there together. So it just, I think for me, that was one of the hardest things. There just wasn't another adult around, you know, to kind of do those little things or to participate or just to sit on the couch and watch TV and be a presence, you know, while I needed to run to the store or something. So that's been tough and a little scary at times, but you quickly find, you know, a good schedule that works. And, you know, like I work in the evening now because I found out really, really quickly that me trying to get up and work in the morning was insanity. My kids were getting into everything and they weren't doing their schoolwork, and it just wasn't working out. So I work in the evening. So most of my first part of my day is totally dedicated to house and school and kids stuff. And then I, you know, sit down after dinner and I start working, and sometimes I work really late. And then we're flexible in the morning. Like we used to get up. This is so funny. When I was married, we got up really early and we started our day, and then we ended our day, you know, a lot earlier. And now I work a lot later, but my kids are loving it. They're like, we can sleep till 9 or 10, and, you know, mom's give us a hard time. And they're really thriving in this situation. They really have no complaints. So that's been kind of cool. But yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges is just, and it sounds so simple, but it's having another person around to kind of take that pressure off. You know, or to give you a break once in a while, that can become overwhelming.
Right. Those are such excellent thoughts. I mean, I feel like you covered not only what many of the challenges are, but also how you're responding to them. And it's obvious that it is paying dividends with your kids' response to that. So I just applaud you for doing what you're doing. It's just wonderful. One question I have for you, though, you kind of alluded to the fact that you have to have some breaks. How are you able to fit those in?
What I've found is since I'm working at nights, in the past, you know, all the kids would wind down and then they would be off to bed or, you know, kind of having quiet time, and that would give me time to get into something. And I found in the evenings I have to spend most of my time working. But it's really made me aware of where I'm spending my time. And so now on Sundays, I used to, like, run around, do all kinds of things on Saturdays and Sundays. Now on Sundays, I spend the entire day just not absorbed into anything. I don't work. I don't commit to anything. And some people get upset with me. They're like, oh, well, you know, we could do it Sunday. And I'm like, nope, that's my day off. Like, I don't do anything. Mm-hmm. And when I say day off, people are like, oh, well, let's still go do something. I'm like, you don't understand. Like, I kind of check out on Sundays. Like, I don't do laundry. I try to cook the day before. I really, like, take it easy. I do yoga. I try to meditate. I spend some time, you know, reading, watching TV, just whatever feels like the right thing to do that day. And my kids, of course, are right there with me, and they're watching TV or they're reading or they're playing outside. I'm really lucky that I was able to keep my house through the whole situation. I fought and I sacrificed a lot to keep it, but I'm so glad I did, because we have space. They can run and play and ride bikes and that kind of thing. So I think setting aside that time, I did get frustrated, you know, the first maybe 6 months, because I kind of looked outside of myself, maybe to, like, some friends, you know, thinking that, oh, well, maybe they'll be willing to help out, you know, once in a while, or maybe they'll want to come over and watch the kids so I can run out. And I think that happened maybe once. And then I got frustrated because I was like, why don't they want to help me? And once I stopped, you know, expecting or wanting anybody else's help, I've really found my own balance. Yeah, that's really just taking that entire day to do nothing. I know a lot of people are like, well, just squeeze in 20 minutes here or 20 minutes there. But I found that I couldn't wind myself down enough in that space of time and then get back into doing something. Like, switching gears for me is kind of tough. So I had to just have that entire day where I was just kind of zoned out and recharged, and then I started all over again on Monday.
You know, I really believe, Jessica, that what you just said is excellent advice, whatever your family situation. I think too many of us try to just have little tiny breaks, you know, 5 minutes here, 15 minutes there, and then we never really feel refreshed. So I think that's just excellent, excellent advice. Do you have any other tips for single homeschooling moms? And I would especially love if you could talk about any support that you've found amongst other single homeschooling moms. Have you been able to find that kind of support? So that should keep you busy. So any other tips that you have? And then if you could speak to support.
Yeah, so let's see. As far as tips go, there's going to be days where everything's falling apart. This has been really big for me. And the kids won't cooperate, and the dog is sick, or, you know, the mailman's, like, knocking on the door right in the middle of something important, and you're just going to feel like quitting. Like, you want to just go hide in your room and lock the door and not come out, and you just want to give up. And I've had so many of those moments, you know, over the last 18 months. But take that time, let yourself, like, I think the best advice I can give is let yourself melt down. So many people are like, oh, no, don't do that, because then you won't be able to come out of it. And I think that's so wrong to tell people not to do that, because I've found that if you are upset and that pressure is building up like that and you feel like hiding, if you get to that point, you've got to, you know, either vent that to a friend or write it down in a journal. I took to blogging a little bit and coloring. I know this sounds silly, but those adult coloring books with a set of gel pens can do wonders. And, you know, I found myself sitting in front of the washing machine, like watching it spin, and I'm sitting there coloring, and I'm like, okay, everything's going to be fine. I'm going to go back down there and tackle this again. So I think allowing yourself to be imperfect, allowing yourself to make mistakes, and, you know, don't be so hard on yourself. That's one thing that I've really struggled with, mm-hmm. and I know a lot of women do too, not just single mothers, but, you know, you have expectations of yourself, and when you don't meet those, it can kind of make you melt down. So I've dealt with that a lot. So I guess letting yourself have those moments to get upset and then standing back up, dusting back off and saying, okay, well, that didn't go as planned, but, you know, let's keep moving. And then as far as tips, like I was super into being on top of everything with my kids. As far as curriculum went, I had everything planned down to a T. I mean, I could tell you what we were doing 2 months from now on a Friday at 2 o'clock, and I was like super into planning, and I had the nicest planners, and I had a homeschool room, and it was immaculate, and I spent a lot of time making it look like a schoolroom. And after all this happened, I kind of, last summer, I reevaluated everything, really, and I'm still doing that. You know, I'm in this constant mode of like, well, is this working? Okay, maybe not. Let's switch tracks. But I put so much pressure on myself to make myself look like I was qualified enough to be doing this, because I know that, I don't know if this is true for everyone, but a lot of people have put a lot of pressure on me, telling me, well, you know, I don't know if you're qualified, and you know, maybe you should let a real teacher do this. And now that you're single, you know, you're spread too thin in too many directions. And sometimes I feel like that might be true, but it goes back to the priorities. Like, I set my life up a certain way, so I am spending that time that I want to with my kids, because they won't be little forever. And as far as tips go, it's really, if it feels wrong, if you feel like it's too much of a fight, like you've got a curriculum or you're doing something or you've made a change and you're like, on paper this looks good, but it's not working for you, it's okay to put it down. Like, it is okay to walk away from it. And I had a lot of trouble with that. That was something that I struggled to get to, and I'm doing a lot better with that now. But that's one of the biggest things I wish somebody would have told me, is just, it's okay to put that down. Like, you don't have to do this perfectly. You know, you're going to be just fine. And then having those days where you melt down, and give yourself that time, and don't be too hard on yourself. And then as far as scheduling goes, I've learned to be a little more relaxed, I think, with the schedule and what gets done in a day, and have more realistic expectations. That's definitely helped a lot. Sorry if I got off on a rant there.
No, that was wonderful. Again, I think, you know, as you even mentioned, I think these tips are fantastic for any homeschooling mom. Have you been able to find support amongst other single homeschooling moms?
Honestly, I have really struggled to find other single homeschooling moms. And I think, I think maybe there's two. I joined a Facebook group recently. I wish I had found them last year. But they are specifically single homeschooling moms. So in most of the groups that I was in and all the circles I was in before my divorce, they were not single. And in fact, some of their advice, you know, even I'm sure they meant really well when they were giving me that advice, but they were telling me that I needed to kind of hang it up, and, you know, I couldn't keep up with the field trips. And I got some comments, you know, from people about how I should just like give it up and move on. And a couple of people were like, well, I don't know if you're going to be able to do this. So I did find on Facebook, I did find some unschooling, and this was cool too, because I've been getting really into unschooling. Took me a while to wrap my brain around it. But because I have a, you know, a history of, I just want to do everything like the school. And there's been specific homeschool groups that are for single mothers, and they're super supportive. I mean, you can go on there and vent about what's going on, and they're like, I know, I totally understand. So that's been really cool. Also, like, they'll understand things. Like, they're like, oh, you know, I've got to work today, and I can't make these field trips, and I can't do all this stuff, and I feel like a bad mother, and I feel like a bad parent, and is my kid, you know, going to suffer? Like, what am I doing? Like, we all have these days. And they're totally there, 100%, you know, understanding and backing you up. And they're like, it's okay. You don't have to be perfect, and, you know, get up tomorrow and start it over again, and everything will be fine. So, yeah, I think as far as support goes, the Facebook groups have been awesome. Now, the homeschool groups that I was a part of, that I was physically a part of, we've kind of fallen off the radar with a lot of them because of the times that they meet, and the demand, you know, for us to be at a certain place at a certain time became really difficult. But I did find what's been cool is we signed up for music, so now they're doing music, and I found a teacher who's like, oh, I totally love that you're homeschooling, and he was willing to come to my house. So that's been really awesome, and he's totally supportive of the homeschool thing, so I didn't get any weird comments, you know. So he shows up at my house at lunchtime on Thursdays, and that's been awesome. Like, it's been a huge help. And then there's also a local group, and most of them are not homeschoolers, but they're into dance, and one of my older sons is in dance, and they've been really surprisingly supportive. I usually get the comment like, I don't know how you do that. You know, you're crazy. Like, you're either really brave or really crazy. And I was like, I think it's a mixture of both. but yeah, it's support. You can find support in the oddest places. And some church groups, we haven't been active in church because of my whole Sunday rule. But there are a lot of church groups too, and they're really supportive, surprisingly. I thought they were going to be like, well, you know, you need to give up on this idea. but yeah, there's definitely supportive people there too. So I think it's really getting out and looking. Facebook is an awesome place to start. There are so many cool groups on there, you know, and very specific. Like, there's the unschooling, and then there's the single mother unschooling, and then there's single mother, you know, regular homeschool. So there is support out there. You can connect with a lot of people.
Well, that is good to hear. And I'm really hoping that the married homeschooling moms who are listening are thinking about how they can be more supportive and encouraging to single homeschooling moms like yourself. It's definitely giving me food for thought. So I just so appreciate everything that you have shared today. I know it's going to help homeschooling moms who are on a, you know, on a journey to do this on their own. Of course, we don't want them to have to feel like they're totally alone. We want to be able to support them. So thank you so much for educating us about this. The next thing that I want to know, Jessica, is how my listeners can connect with you. You said that you are doing graphic design work. If you are in the market for that, if you're a blogger or you have a business and you need a logo or something else that Jessica could help you with, where can people find you?
Yeah, so thank you for mentioning that. So I originally started a blog, and it's about some of my experiences with homeschool. It's called letsbreaktherules.com. And I sat there one night and I thought, well, I'm just breaking all the rules, aren't I? Because I'm doing everything kind of backwards and by myself, and so it's letsbreaktherules.com, and that's the homeschool blog that I've been doing. And as far as design work goes, I have a design website, and I love to help out fellow homeschoolers, and I love doing blogs and stuff like that, and design layouts and stuff, and rebranding. That's been a really fun thing for me. And that website is DearPennyJane.com. So I know that sounds a little funny.
Dear?
Yeah, DearPennyJane.com, like D-E-A-R.
Okay.
PennyJane.com. Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, I will definitely put those links in the show notes so people will have them. Jessica, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to help us. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me on. It's really an honor.
That was such an insightful chat. I loved it. I got different insights about single homeschooling from Latoya Edwards. Latoya started homeschooling as a single mom and has tips that will help homeschoolers who are married too. Be sure to listen in.
Latoya, thank you so much for joining me to talk about this very important topic. I would love if you could introduce yourself to my listeners just to begin with.
Sure. I'm Latoya Edwards, and I am a mom to three boys. I have 11 all the way down to toddler, and gosh, I've been homeschooling since the beginning, so I think that's like 7 years. Sounds like a lot. And, you know, we live in Florida, where we are hot 99.9% of the year, and so we're just kind of, you know, surviving the heat, having fun, and enjoying being together.
That's neat. Can you tell us about your journey as being a single homeschooling mom?
Sure. I kind of fell into homeschooling. It wasn't on my radar when my oldest was like 3 or 4. It was just kind of weird. I remember when I was pregnant with my oldest, I went to take a childbirthing class and hire a doula, and she was a single mom who was in law school at the time. She had 2 girls, and she was homeschooling them. And I remember looking at her thinking, I didn't know that was a real thing. I thought that that was just something that like they made up for movies and things. And so that was kind of my first exposure. And I thought, oh, well, that's kind of interesting. And that's weird. But then as it became time for my oldest to go to school, I found myself a single mom that was in law school with 2 children. And my oldest son is very, very, very smart. He's like one of those kids that was reading at 3, and he was terrorizing the preschool because he was bored, basically. And I thought, okay, this kid is not going to do well in a public school setting. And so I started to look at options, and of course, private school and charter schools. And around this time, I learned that he was on the autism spectrum. And I thought, okay, I've really got to make some hard choices, to figure out what was going to help him succeed as best he could. And then I kind of remembered that my doula in the back of my head, and I contacted her, and we had a long conversation, and she just kind of, she was still homeschooling. She was practicing law and still homeschooling. I thought, okay, that's what we're going to do. I'm going to give this a try for a year. Because here where we live, compulsory age is at 6. So he didn't have to start kindergarten at 5. I thought, you know what? I've got a year, and we're just going to see how it works and see if I can manage and see how it goes. And we haven't looked back.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, it's similar to my story in that I decided to try homeschooling when my son was a preschooler just to see how it would go. And anyone who knows my story knows it didn't go very well because I was such a whole other story. So, you know, you were making it work, but there had to have been some challenges for you as a single working homeschooling mom. Or were you working?
I wasn't working. Yeah, I wasn't working.
Okay.
Not outside of the home. I graduated from law school and realized that was not what I wanted to do. Like, I did not want to be working 60, 70 hours a week and never see my kids. And so I decided I was going to go into social work, which is so funny. And so I did that for about a year and a half and went, nope, this isn't for me either, and hopped out of that. And then I kind of fell into blogging and social media and all that stuff, which hasn't provided it, like, you know, we're not rich, but that's kind of what I've been doing ever since, to be home and work, you know, and homeschool the boys. So I think the biggest challenge for me initially was having no idea what I was doing, because nobody that I knew was homeschooling. My family had never homeschooled. I have a family full of educators in the public school system. Mm-hmm. So that was very interesting, with a lot of pushback, you know, for these things. And my family often were like, well, you know, if you just get a really good job, then you won't have to homeschool. And it was a kind of a struggle to be like, no, like, this isn't like the last resort. You know, I'm not homeschooling because, oh, no, this is the choice. And so that was hard. And even to this day, I still kind of struggle with that support, that community of people that speak your language, that kind of understand and know what you're doing, because I know there's a lot of homeschoolers in Florida. I hear it all the time, but I think the people where I live, they're hiding because we can't find them. So that has been a struggle. And then I would probably say the second one was kind of getting over what I thought education was supposed to look like, because I went through public school all the way through. And so that was my only concept of school. You know, you sit at the desk, do the worksheets, the whole nine yards. And that's how I tried to teach at the beginning. And I've got boys, I've got very active boys, and they were not having it. They were bucking against that, and like worksheet. I mean, my son's eyes would glaze over at the mention of worksheet and he would just like flip out. It was crazy. So I had to really learn how they learned the best and what was going to work for them, and balance that with how I was comfortable with teaching. And so eventually we landed on the Charlotte Mason method, which has really worked well for me and for my boys. And, you know, there's no more tears, there's no more worksheets. We're actually learning and enjoying school. And it's been a big blessing once I finally got over that mental block of this is what school is supposed to look like.
That's neat. That is wonderful. I did an episode on Charlotte Mason homeschooling not too long ago, and I will put a link to that episode in the show notes. So you are mentioning that, you know, having that support is a challenge. Have you found any other ways of getting support for yourself as a single homeschooling mom?
I think probably the biggest thing for me was online. As I began blogging and I kind of discovered the homeschool blogging community, they kind of became my people. And so I had a lot of support online. I think that's how we met, actually. But, you know, and so that kind of came where I would go to when I had questions. And I will say over the past, I think like 2 years, we've joined a co-op that is, it's very relaxed, and it's essentially just, you know, it's a way for us to go on field trips and get like the big discounts, but we kind of have began to go out of our kind of immediate area, because for the co-op that we're in, I usually have to drive about an hour for any of the events because all the families live far away from us. But doing that has kind of, we've connected with a couple of families that way, but we still are kind of lone rangers, which is, I'm okay with it for me because I'm very introverted, so I don't need to have a lot of people and all of that. But, you know, trying to find friends and things for my boys is just, we're getting better. You know, we don't get the crazy looks when we go out anymore because there are now more homeschoolers out there. So it's just a matter of, I think, again, trying to find what works for us, and just keep putting stuff out there. And especially for me having a big age gap, I'm running into the, okay, well, I've got this family and they've got kids my big boy's age, but they don't have any little ones. Or, you know, they've got little ones, but, you know, no older kids. And so we're still kind of figuring it out. We've got a couple of families that we get together with a little more regularly, and, you know, twice a month we're doing something with our co-op. So we're getting out and we're feeling a little more connected and a little more supported. I don't think we've kind of arrived there yet. It's not perfect, but it's better than it was. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of learning to keep reaching out and keep asking questions to see what's out there.
Okay, that's great. Okay, so I'm speaking to the newer single homeschooling mom. What would you say to her are some beginning steps or some tips that
Right. I would say take a breath, you know, breathe. And I always say this to new moms when I'm out and about and, you know, I see a mom and she's like, oh, you got big boys. Like, what good advice would you give to a first-time mom? And I'm always like, just relax. You know, it's not as, you know, crazy as it seems in the moment, which, you know, I've learned over the years. But I would just tell her, you know, just relax. And take your time to figure out what's going to work for your family because, you know, as a single mom, like you're doing all the, you know, most of the parenting and all the schooling and managing your house and discipline and everything is on you. And when you've got that many plates kind of spinning, you're not going to look like the family down the street that's got mom and dad in the house working together. And that's not to say that, like, I don't work with my kid's dad because he's active, you know, he's involved, he's supportive. And that's a blessing because I know not all single moms have that. But it falls on me primarily. And so I had to really figure out what was going to work for us. So, you know, we may be doing school in the afternoon because I had a work project to do in the morning, and that's okay. You know, we may do school on the weekend because we need to catch up on something, and that's okay. You know, it's not really about copying what everybody else is doing. It's about kind of focusing on what's going to work best for your family, and you've got to be creative. You've got to think inside the box. It's okay to do school at night. It's okay to do school on the weekends. You know, it's okay to let your kids, if they wake up at 5 a.m. like mine, do say, listen, if you need something to do, work on your math. You know, all of those things are okay. And then the second thing that I would say is you don't need a ton of money to homeschool. For years, I have had a budget of about $150 a year, and that's it. It's totally possible. There's tons of free resources, you know, online. If you have a library card and a really good library system, that is where we get most of our you know, our materials. We just, whatever we're doing for history, we kind of go to the library and clear the shelves and take it all home, and that's our curriculum. The same thing for science, you know, or nature. Just find ways to learn that aren't going to kind of break your budget. It's totally possible, and whenever possible, if you can find something that you can use with more than one child, that's a fantastic investment.
Mm-hmm. Great tips. I know my local homeschool support group has a lending library, and other homeschoolers will donate their used curriculum to it, and you can check it out for an entire year. And if you run a local support group for homeschoolers and you don't have that, I suggest that you get that put into place because it will really help moms like Latoya to, you know, have a lot more variety of choices in books that you can use with your kids. So that is a great tip. Latoya, this has been really, really helpful. It's, I think, very encouraging to other single homeschooling moms to realize that if you can do it, they can do it too, right? And
yes.
I want to make sure that my listeners know where they can connect with you.
Oh, great. Well, they can find me on my website. It's easy to remember. It's my name. It's LatoyaEdwards.net. And they can find me there and all my other, like, social media and email listing groups and all that just by going to that site.
That is great. And what kinds of things are you sharing on your blog?
Right. So I actually did some training a couple years ago to become a life coach. And so on my blog, I'm sharing just tips and encouragement on how you can grow spiritually and, you know, really have a strong faith and be consistent, you know, with your spiritual growth, no matter what's going on in your life. And those are the things that I share. So I talk about how to have consistent quiet times, you know, how to, you know, deepen your prayer life, and just lots of encouragement for, you know, moms to continue their spiritual growth, because I know that that's something that can often get put on the back burner while we're caring for our families and, you know, meeting the demands of everyday life.
It is wonderful. I know that my listeners will be very interested in that, and I'm sure that even married new homeschoolers will appreciate the tips that you have shared today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to talk with me.
My pleasure.
I'm so thankful to my single homeschooling guests for sharing with us today. I learned a lot. But what if you are married and still homeschooling without help? I asked some of my listeners for their advice, and I have their responses written in the blog post for this podcast. You'll find the link to it in the show notes at homeschoolsanity.com/nohelp. Thanks again to Apologia for sponsoring this podcast. Apologia is there to help all of us in our homeschooling. Learn more at apologia.com. Have a happy homeschool week.
Thank you for joining me for the Homeschool Sanity Show. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.